Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I was speaking at a church on Sunday, Life Church Warrington, and cracking church actually. We've partnered with them on Eden Latchford, and this was their sort of all their churches coming together. They started with 12 people 6 years ago. Now there's 350 people. Call that church home, and it was one of these great churches that they were presenting, you know, different ministries. Five ministries came up front. They have a CAP centre, a TLG partnership, working with kids who are excluded from school. Christians Against, yeah, said Christians Against Poverty, a homeless ministry, that a ministry with young mums, blessing young mums and coming alongside vulnerable young mums. And on it went, all this precious, beautiful kingdom stuff that actually, if you're going to grow a church, you better get involved in that. If you're going to build a church, you need to preach the gospel and love the poor. And there's every chance that the eyes of the Lord will range the earth and think, oh, I like that. Let's favour that church. And that's what they've experienced. But if you walk in the church, it says Life Church Warrington and Acts 2, 42 to 47 church. That's what it says on their banners. And so that's what I'm going to speak out of. And their aspiration, their longing is to be like the early church, those incredible breakthrough, amazing revival days that we know about. And this is what Acts 2, 42 to 47, familiar words. It describes the fellowship of the early believers on the back of Pentecost. This is what the baby church was like. And it's meant to be a model church throughout history. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you like to be part of an Acts 2, 42 to 47 church? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You may have heard me say this before, but in 1975, the guy who led the second largest missions movement in the world, YWAM, who at that point had about 14,000 workers all over the world, went on holiday with his wife to Colorado Springs. And as he was just there, he was seeking the Lord, and he felt like the Lord gave him a vision, gave him a fresh new strategy about engagement. And the Lord spoke to him about spheres of influence, that not just YWAM, but the body of Christ needs to be far more engaged in, not just in religious activity and in church business, but transforming all of society. And he wrote it all down. And then he heard that the guy who leads the largest mission agency in the world, a guy called Bill Bright, who's now in heaven, was having a holiday just down the hill in Colorado Springs, same week. He contacted, you know, they were mates, who they connected and paths crossed at various things. So Bill Bright, Campus Crusade, had 25,000 missionaries all over the world. And so Lauren got in touch with Bill in 1975 and said, can we just have a coffee and a catch up? It'd be nice, you know, meet with the wives, and we're here on holiday. And said, great. So went down the hill, met, connected. As they were having this time of connection, Bill Bright said, God gave me this amazing dream. It was about spheres of influence and the fact that the church is meant to be so much more than influencing religion. And as I was praying about it, God gave me seven spheres of influence that the church is meant to be engaged with. And they were exactly the same seven spheres that Lauren had written down. So these two amazing men in this amazing place that had this amazing revelation from heaven that the church was meant to engage in, yes, in religion, but also were meant to transform family and education and government and media and arts and entertainment and business. We're meant to be people who don't preach a gospel. This is what Bill Bright said on the back of it, a gospel of just salvation. We're not meant to preach a gospel that you come to Jesus and you get saved and then you're saved and you live your little saved life till you meet him face to face. We're meant to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is all pervasive. It affects everything. We're meant to be people who there's an expectation of the kind of church that was in Acts 2, 42 to 47 that transformed society. We're meant to be saved And it changes everything. It changes healthcare, it changes education, it changes democracy, it changes the legal system, it changes commerce. I was speaking to a pastor last week, senior pastor, and he said, well, my thing about Brexit is I can't influence that. I just get on with it. You know, I just get on with running my ministry and I work in my sphere of influence. And I kind of thought, yeah, that makes sense. And then I went away and thought, that doesn't make sense. I will affect Brexit. If I'm a man of God, a kingdom man, if I preach the gospel of the kingdom and I pray the prayers of the kingdom, I'm going to have a bigger effect than anybody because I'm going to connect with the living God who rules everything. You know, we can't just back off and put the shutters up and, oh, this is a mess. Well, it's a mess. So Jesus deals in sorting out messes, doesn't he? So we preach the gospel of the kingdom. The social gospel, when I was a baby Christian, was like a dirty word, really. It was meant, you know, liberals who didn't have a very high view of scripture and were all about, you know, working with the poor and blessing people, but didn't really preach the gospel. I even remember there was this old bloke in our church, lovely old man, but I spoke to this shepherd of my church and he said, I can't give to Tear Fund because that's not real gospel. I'm like, do me a favour. I can think of few things on the planet that are more gospel than Tear Fund. You know, word and deed and working in partnership with local church to transform society and blessing the poor. You get me? But there was that we're scared about nasty social gospel when we're true gospel of salvation. And of course, balance is the key. Social engagement is so important. It's important that, and actually, isn't it great? You've got to be quite a stiff church leader not to be involved in social engagement. You've got to be quite weird, haven't you? Not to be involved in, you know, poverty relief and caring about human trafficking and you know, so many different areas and the poor and churches that are growing have got this. And I love that. And it is a new day. And there's young adults in this room are like, what are you talking about? But honestly, this was a battle when I was your age. And I feel like it's a battle. There's been so much breakthrough in this area. So our great model church in Acts was birthed, yes, with mass salvation, thousands in one hit, thousands of disciples, but real conviction, real repentance, and real transformation of not just individuals, but society. Gospel of the kingdom was preached, and what happens when the gospel of the kingdom is truly preached and God's on the move? There was a result, and there were 9 hallmarks of this church. Don't be scared, I'm going to do this very quickly. 9 hallmarks of this early church that was about transforming society, that was about spheres of influence, that was about the gospel of the kingdom that I long for in the message and I long for in the church. If we're going to see the kind of gospel fruit we long for, lasting gospel fruit, we need to be people. And I gave Danielle this PowerPoint about 4:45 last night. So if it's rubbish, she didn't have long to do it. No, I'm sure it'll be great. No, Danielle, it'd be great. And she worked late to do it and all that, as she does. So first thing, right? The first thing, we have a church here, in early church, that loves the word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. No. That's the first thing, not the second thing. The first thing is they loved the word. They loved the Bible. They loved the scriptures. What were the apostles teaching about? Well, their teaching, because they were at capital A, apostles was the word of God. But they were teaching from the scriptures, weren't they? Just read everything they preached, read everything they taught. It was the Bible. They loved the word. And I felt I wanted to say to you, message this morning, anybody who's listening on this podcast, so many of the problems you have in your lives is because you don't devote yourselves to the scripture. I mean, devote yourself to the scripture. The Bible is living and active. In fact, let me read you what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says this about the word of God. The word of God is alive and active, The word of God is active. It's moving in this place. As you read scripture, things happen. This is unlike any other book. It's a living book. It's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. I've never met a Christian who's discouraged, defeated, in despair, who's holding on tightly to the word of God, who's devoted to the word of God, who's set apart scripture reading and digging into scripture. And many Christians are rubbish at that. Well, don't be rubbish at that, because so many of your problems are because you're not allowing the word of God to change your thoughts and attitudes. You see, your problems aren't with the situation, because God's got that. Your problem is with your thoughts and attitudes. And the Bible changes your thoughts and attitudes as we line up with the truth of this word. Do you get me? When we're devoted to the word, transformation comes. There's people in this room who feel depressed and discouraged. You know what you need to do? Get into the Bible. It's the word of God. It's living. It's active. It can change everything. So they had a high view of the word. They loved the word, but they also loved the cross. What are they talking about when they said the breaking of bread in verse 42? And then every day they met together in verse 46 and they broke bread. Of course, it was the meal. It's not just we're having a meal together, it's the meal that Jesus gave them. It's the Holy Communion. It's breaking bread and reminding themselves of the broken body of Jesus. The cross was central to everything. We just forget so quickly about the cross. That's why Jesus gave us a meal of remembrance at the center of our worship. Absolutely key that we constantly remember the cross. We forget the cross and we go off kilter. But we focus on the cross and Jesus' great sacrifice and great example for us. And we look at all that's been achieved through the cross and we lift high the cross, we preach the cross, and everything changes. We're a cross-centered ministry. Our job is to lift the cross. And we need to be gutted if there's a single young person who doesn't understand the message of the cross. That Jesus would do all that and we would keep quiet about it. That can't be right, can it? And that's why Jesus wanted us to remember and why the devil wants us to forget how amazing the cross is. They were a church who loved to pray. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I'm excited about this season of prayer. I'm so glad Michael's here this morning, actually, helping Rivers and Robots. Did you invite him or did he just turn up? He's just like, they're doing quite well, this Rivers and Robots, you know, American tours and everything. Michael just turned up. No. No, I'm so delighted Michael's here because Michael heads up MHOP. And yesterday we had a leaders' lunch here. Really encouraging, really exciting. I've got such faith for this night and day prayer vision. And I love the fact Michael wants us to call it night and day prayer. I've been calling it 24/7 prayer. It's night and day prayer because the vision is, the heart is that we'll have 6 days a week night and day prayer. And seventh day, we'll go to church. You know, we're not going to be buried away in our little prayer room praying, which is such an important thing. We're going to join together with the saints. And it's not just buried away in our prayer room. It's prayer and mission, prayer and justice. It's the kind of prayer they prayed in the early church where they prayed, they cried out to God for breakthrough. Then they went out into society and brought transformation and preached the gospel and blessed the poor. Oh, can we be devoted to prayer? What are you devoted to in your life? Be devoted to prayer. Maybe sometime between 12 and 3 o'clock, you could show how devoted you are to prayer today and join in. Maybe you haven't been so devoted to our prayer times of the message. Get devoted, because we're not going to see society change. We're not going to see the gospel of the kingdom do its work without some people who are sacrificially devoted to prayer. And we have the chance next Thursday, of course, to come together with a whole church in this city. Really significant. Because there's never been a major move of God in all history. If I'm wrong, tell me about it. Because I've studied revival for the last 40 years. There's never been a major move of God in all history that wasn't birthed in united and sacrificial prayer. There's something amazing happens when you pray on your own. There's something super special about coming together around a vision. You know, we're the message and we're praying and we're bringing our needs and we're crying out to God for a breakthrough. But I believe there's a different level of anointing when people come together in unity. There's something about laying down our agenda, joining together with people. Perhaps we don't agree on every bit of doctrine and practice, but we agree on one thing. There's a saviour, and there's a message that needs to be heard, and there's a gospel that can change society, and there's heaven and there's hell, and we agree on that. So we're going to do everything we can to populate heaven and plunder hell and give Jesus glory. When we come together around that in prayer, there's something really powerful. It's called kingdom breakthrough. The fourth thing about this amazing early church is that they clearly moved in the miraculous in extraordinary ways. Everyone was filled with awe. Many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. Can't get away from it. We can't back down from it. We haven't seen that. I wouldn't say, you know, everyone in Manchester is filled with awe because of the great miracles we're seeing, but wouldn't it be amazing to live in that place? Everyone's just filled with awe. What the heck is going on? Have you heard the latest story that's coming out of Jerusalem of incredible miracles? Don't you want to live in that place? God, do it. Do it. Move in the miraculous in our day. Stir up some faith in a group of people to see kingdom doing what kingdom does. The fifth thing is experience great unity. Look at that. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Oh, what would that be like? I mean, what would it be like if all the believers, all the nonsense in the church and all the falling out and all the people who think they're so clever and have come up with 40,000 denominations, you know, and Jesus just said, praise, big prayers, there'd be one so that the world would know. Imagine if we were just together and had everything in common, we're just in this thing together. Wouldn't that be amazing? What a witness to the world. And we need to model that well at the message. Just, and I think we do. I think we sense some unity of purpose and vision and passion and we love, but we just need to constantly work at it. It's a key mark of revival. Individual prayer and ministry and mission's good. United stuff is amazing. And I think Satan's big strategy to stop us fulfilling the Great Commission has been splitting us up. It's been dividing our resources. It's been multiplying and duplication. If we could just come together with everything in common and great unity. And that's why I really do think the Lord likes this MHOP vision. I think it's just a bunch of churches and leaders. And we had, you know, some of the largest churches in Manchester represented yesterday, just saying, we just want to roll out the red carpet for MHOP. We want to, what was the word the Lord gave Michael? Exploit our contacts for the sake of the city. I think the Lord loves that, don't you? Great, great unity. And inevitably there was care for and sacrificial meeting of the needs of the poor. The kind of thing we heard about in Life Church Warrington, verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, I wonder if anybody's ever done that. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I wonder whether, you know, I'm guessing that down the years of you being a Christian, you've actually sacrificially given now and again. You know, you're given over the top. I wonder how many of us have sold property and possessions. You know, when that guy sold his Ferrari to buy an Eden bus, they were just, the rich people, his rich friends, were just staggered that you would even think about that. I mean, it was like, if you read his Facebook feed, it was fascinating. Even Christian people, that's a bit over the top. You know, selling something really nice to bless the poor. But this is what the early church did. Not one or two of them. There's a culture. There's a need there. I've got something. I've got two of this. Or maybe I've not even got two of this. Maybe I've got one of this. But I'm prepared to sacrifice and step out in faith to bless the poor. Now that would get the attention, don't you think? That really would. If some people were prepared to sell property and possessions. Oh, I'm convicted by that. Now, I think sacrifice is giving a bit more than my tithe and being open to offerings every now and again. But, oh, you know, maybe if we're going to live the gospel of the kingdom, we need to start doing the things that they modelled. We need to be open to what that would look like. And it tends to be, I think, we tend to go along this route. This is certainly where I've been. Whenever I've been really pressed on this, you know, selling some of my nice things to bless the poor. I always get to the point where I'm like, well, Lord, I've done my Abraham and Isaac. I know I was prepared to do that. Now I can carry on enjoying it. Do you think sometimes we do that a little bit as well? You know, we've always got the little get out clause from being a bit crazy and radical, but we had a crazy radical church here, born out of revival. The seventh thing was they experienced great joy. Every day they met together in the temple courts and in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day they were just mates, weren't they? They're in the homes. They were in worship. They were eating and drinking together. They were having a party. They were loving life. There was great joy. There was great generosity and great joy. And it's so sad, I think, that we live in such a stressed generation. And the church seems as bad as anywhere. There's so many people just stressed out their brains. And the Lord wants us to experience great joy. I'm not saying clearly sometimes people have serious mental health issues, and that's absolutely right. But don't we live in the most stressed generation ever? Well, we do. Look at the stats. Look at, that's the doctors, that's the hospitals. You know, people's hearts are just failing them everywhere, and it's just the stress and the pressure of this society. And we're meant to be people who are walking in generosity and joy. We're meant to be people. Yes, I'm sorry if you're not experiencing it. Get into Jesus. Jesus brings joy through it all. Get a vision of eternity. Get a vision of heaven. Experience some of heaven's joy. I love the name of C.S. Lewis's autobiography. C.S. Lewis, like, was this sort of melancholic, absolute genius, Oxford Don, you know, but he wasn't sort of the kind of guy who would just, you know, be first on the dance floor. You know, he'd sit there with his pipe, you know, at the back, looking a bit miserable and thinking about the deep things of life. His autobiography was called Surprised by Joy. Isn't that a great title? Because this miserable guy found Jesus, and he's like, what is that? On Sunday, I had the privilege of leading this girl to the Lord, and her story was, she was very broken young woman, three kids and a nightmare husband, violent, abusive, criminal, horrible man she was living with. And she didn't know what to do. She was to leave with the kids. And she cried out to God, said, God, you've got to get me out of here. You've got to get me out of this situation. I think it was like 2 days later, he was arrested and put in prison. And he's doing 8 years now, this guy. And she knew it was the Lord. She cried out to God and she knew it was the Lord. So she went along to this like local church. And I think for like several weeks, she went to a local, I don't know what kind of church it was, but quite hard work with her three kids. And she said, I was just doing, you know, crowd control with my three kids through the service. It was quite hard. And then she went to Life Church Warrington for the first time on Sunday. And she said it was like coming home. You know, this Pentecostal church with kids everywhere and lively worship and joy. And she gave her life to Christ and just weeping tears of joy. Just joy. And I prayed, you're going to be surprised by joy tomorrow morning. And this lady from the church said, that's exactly the word I had for you. Joy, 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 joy. Out of your tears, out of your misery, out of your nightmare, Jesus has stepped in and Jesus brings joy, doesn't he? What a privilege to be there. It's the sort of stuff that's meant to happen, not just on a Sunday, but every day in kingdom churches when we preach the gospel. Because the eighth thing is, we know favor way beyond the church. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. We know there was great persecution. They were living with that tension too, but there was favor, favor, favor. There was open doors, opportunity, generosity. You know, the kingdom was advancing, and there was something about that beyond the church, that favor that we've experienced and we're going to pray for in a moment, that we'll have favor. We're going to pray, in fact, we're going to pray for a lease that we need. There's some problems around the lease of this cafe. We need favor, don't we, to break through. We've got issues around a lease in and the building next door. We need favor, don't we? We've got a meeting with the council where they're going to decide, you know, how much they're going to give us in terms of housing benefit. towards the guys who live in the Oaks. We need favour with that decision, don't we? It's things outside our control, but he's in control. And we just know that favour. So we're going to pray into those things in a moment. And then the ninth and most important thing, the natural outflow of all this, the expectation within a true church where the gospel of the kingdom is preached, where we're believing we're going to affect spheres, have spheres of influence in all sects of society, is the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's what happens when we do all the rest. We have this culture shaping biblical teaching and loving community and living worship. It results in infectious mission. In fact, can I say that again? That's what I want the message to be. A place of biblical teaching, loving community, living worship, and infectious mission. Sounds great, doesn't it? Maybe we should change Passion Church, whatever it is, Innovation Community, and have that. I'm going to say it again. It's what I want to be. What I want the message to be. Biblical teaching, loving community, living worship, and infectious mission. A miracle was taking place, and it's a miracle that wasn't meant for just a few weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. It's a miracle that we're meant to be living with if we're filled people. They got the job done. Something more than a move of God, a generational impact. God, let us be people who join together constantly in prayer. That we're all together in one place, who get filled and go in your name. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing model of church. Sounds so brilliant. We'd love to see more of it, Lord. Yeah, we taste it, but we know there's more. We're like, oh God, it's good what you're doing, but there's so much more, Lord. And I pray for conviction this morning. If we've neglected your word at all, if we haven't been devoted to your word, if we haven't been devoted to the cross, lifting high the cross and to prayer, Lord, if we've lacked in the place of prayer, we ask you forgiveness, Lord, that you'll stir us up afresh. Pray, Lord, there'll be great joy. Wherever we go, we'll be joy bringers, surprised by joy in our own lives, but infectious joy towards others. I pray joy in broken women's homes who no hope, but they cry out to you and the joy of Jesus comes. Do it more, Lord. Do it in the prisons. Do it in the community. On the buses. The joy of the saved, Lord. Pray, Lord, that we will be people who sacrificially meet the needs of those around us. And we're aware that so many of us in this room are so rich compared to so many. Look at your world, Lord, and there's just so much need. And I pray you'll challenge us with wise use of our resources. And God, we pray for a miraculous move. Can we see more miracles, more healings, more deliverance, more breakthrough, more miracles of finance, miracles of buildings, miracle? We just want to see the miraculous, Lord. Stuff happening that only Jesus can do. And we open ourselves up to that. And most of all, Lord, can we ask that we can see people saved, added, and released every day? Never a day goes by from now on, Lord, when we don't see you adding to our number daily disciples. Thank you for all those you added on Friday, Lord, in Wakefield. And we pray for many, many more this week in Leeds. But we pray today, whatever's happening in the prisons, the buses, the Eden teams around the world, we pray, add to our number, Lord, disciples. People who go out and carry your kingdom into all the spheres of society, all for you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.